What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number three at 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Now let's run down to Corpus Christi and check in with Captain Cliff Webb, my buddy. What's up, Cliff?
Oh, good, Mickey. You're sounding like you feel good today. I like it, man.
I feel like a million bucks, man.
Green and limp.
Not really, but you got to be positive, man.
I know. You got to be, man. You got to be.
Suck it up.
When you get old.
Go with it. No pain,
it's
no
all good.
Gain.
At our age, if you're not in pain, you're dead. So you kind of wake up, you hurt, it's kind of good, you know.
Man, I mowed my yard super fast the other day, and I'm hitting all them stump holes and, you know, rough spots. And, boy, the next morning I got up, and I felt like I went about three rounds with old Tyson. See, good Lord, what happened?
Three rounds? It'd be like 3 seconds with Tyson.
Yeah, three
with me.
Seconds. Well, three rounds three sounds seconds. Better. I got to give myself some credit. I can run
an
for
animal.
Three rounds.
I can hey,
run
if I could just outrun him. Man, I don't know if I could outrun him or not, but that's my only chance. Oh, man. It's all good, Mick. I got the new motor on the boat and been dove hunting, been fishing. So.
Yeah, how you liking that new engine? Is it purr like
my
a kitten?
God, it's just an animal.
And growls like a beast?
It does. It's got two modes. It's got the sport mode and the quiet mode. So when you're at the dock with your buddies, you put on the sport mode so you sound like a dragster. Then you're old. You don't want to hear all that noise. You turn off and you leave the dock. It hurts your ears. So
now, what do you mean, sport mode and quiet mode?
It's got two. I don't know what that's about with that new 10-4, but so it's got a button.
That's a 10-cylinder?
So 10-cylinder, 4-stroke.
My gosh, I'd hate to have to change the spark plugs in that one. That'd be something.
Well, I don't know what that's about yet, but anyway, we'll get to there, you know. But the cool thing is the power, just like mid-range power when you're when you're doing 4,000, you hit the throttle like a quarter inch, you'll jerk your head back. You know, it's
there
really
you
nice.
Go. But, now you're chunking.
But that sport mode's cool because it's got a real, like a dragster sound, you know, when you start it up. And it changes the exhaust from in the water, out of the water. I don't know what that's all about. But
right.
When you hit a little button, it's just quiet. It sounds like a Suzuki. You can't already hear it, you know. So it's a neat deal. But it's so funny because all the guys that had those motors, they got them on that sport mode. And I'm like, whoa, 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 started up.
Oh,
you know?
Man, that's what outboards were about back in the day. That's why I love that old EFI 225 Mercury. Uh-huh. That I ran on my Vision for years. It's, man, it sounded like a racing engine. Sounded like it's got a, you know, a high lobe cam in it. It sounded bad to the bone. And that good two stroke smoke, that smell, I love that.
I know it, man. And I learned a lot about this engine. Well, this engine is actually 2 or 3 inches shorter, lower unit than my other 350 Barado.
Really?
Shorter. And the lower unit is a beast. I mean, that lower unit is a monster. That skeg on that thing's got to be an inch thick. You know, it's just really tough.
I know, that's what everybody says about my Honda when they look at it. Said, man, look at the lower unit on that thing.
Yeah, yeah. And but what's so unique, different about it is you have to run your jack plate in a different place. So
yeah,
I was yesterday when I took off, I got a loaded boat. I got 70 gallons of fuel. I'm going to go 100 miles, so I'm loaded, you know. And
right.
I always run my jack plate on about 3 or 4 with my Dorado. Well, it's too high out of the water, and I didn't realize it. So I was slipping. When I took off, I was feeling the prop slip. And I go, oh, man, this is not the right prop. Well, I get back home, and I call Chris. He says, oh, no, man. He says, you got to run that jack plate all the way down when you take off. Or, you know,
and bring it up to probably about 2 when you're running.
Bring it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's what the deal. I've never had to do that with my other motor, but that was the deal. But, I mean, the fuel was a lot better than my 350. That's what was weird.
Oh, I bet.
You know, yeah,
it's
I did
so much more
miles.
Efficient, yeah.
Yes. I did 140 miles and still had like 25-30% of my fuel when I got back, and I covered some water. And I was testing the boat. I was running all different speeds. And
right.
Finally, I put 4 hours on it yesterday, and then finally got to open it up and kind of run a little bit, you know. And I run a 25 right now. I may go to 26. He had a 27 on it, and he
what,
engine
pitch
only
prop?
Six. Yes. And he was only turning 6,000 RPMs. Right now I'm turning perfect 65, you know. But the speed's not up there. You know, it's close to 60, but it should be around 65. But I'm not a speed demon. I want to cruise around about 45. I want to be able to cruise at 45.
Yeah, 60's plenty, man. I mean, you're pumping 60.
I don't need to go that fast, no.
Yeah.
Well, it helps you run around thunderstorms. You know, so if you got big
storms.
Well,
yeah, if you get in a bind, sure, you got
to
have that.
You know, that's the only time. Because sometime in the winter, I'll catch myself fishing right before those fronts, and I look to the west. It's got that green putrid look, you know. Oh,
you gotta
my
go,
God,
baby!
You know? And we're smoking the big trout. Everybody goes, one more fish. I said, look, bud, we got to get out of here. And I hit that shoreline and just let her eat. But it's a lot better when you can run a little faster. Get in. I've hit the dock sometime, Mickey, and barely put the boat on the trailer, and it blows 40 miles an hour and starts hailing. You know, and the guy goes, "Good call," but we just barely make it in. That's kind of crazy, you know, but.
That's always a good thing, because sometimes you're about 10 miles from the dock when that happens, and that's not pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, that's painful.
Oh, man.
Very painful.
I know when to ditch it, you know. And I try to look at my radar early and see how fast it's moving. And that's what's so cool about having the cell phones now compared to the old days. You're out there 30 years ago, and you go, well, it's coming. It's supposed to be here about noon. You look up. It's kind of gray. And you can't look at the radar, see how fast it's moving. All of a sudden, time you pull the drift sock up or get the waders in the boat, here it comes, you know. So at least the cell phones give you a little more warning with the radar.
Well, I know over the years, there's 3 bays that I learned the hard way that you don't want to be in when a norther hits.
Yeah.
And be on the south side of them, and that's Corpus Christi Bay, West Matagorda Bay, and Trinity Bay. Those 3 bays right there, norther will kill you on them.
Corpus Christi Bay, just unbelievable. Man, that's just incredible.
Oh, God.
I think every 2 or 3 years we get people that, you know, getting a 14-foot skiff with 5 of them in there and run out in the middle of the bay in the front and just turns them over, you know. But, you know, that's it does get rough.
I remember years back, you know, when I had my big 25 Hydrosport I ran, we were over in East Bay wade fishing, and I'd put in at double bow and just rounded the corner, you know, and went over to East Bay, and I said, man, we guys, we got to keep an eye to the north. Well, the front's bearing down on us, and well, let's make a short wade. Well, I shouldn't have done it. I should have just left while I was ahead in the game. But
yeah.
They said, well, this isn't too bad. We're running down that north side of East Bay to round Smith Point. I said, you just wait till we round that point up there, buddy, and we hit Mother Trinity. She's going to kill us. If I'd had any less boat, I'd have been on the bottom and dead.
Yeah, whew, golly.
It was bad.
That's why
just
I
like
love
you were saying, green sky in front of it, and just, man, 40-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah,
bad
it's
news.
It's coming, too. You kind of see that movement, but, yeah, the
take
weather
it like a man.
We're coming up.
You made
yeah,
the call, you
that
take
time.
It.
Yes, yes, that's it. That is so cool. But, you know, I've been bird hunting too, Mickey. I just got so many places to bird. I'm so lucky I got so many places to hunt birds. And my son's got about 22 acres up by Lake Mathis, and he is covered up with birds. So he says, hey, Dad, come on up, bring Greg up. And so I think I went up there, what was it? I guess it was Tuesday I went up there. Got days to run together. But I went up there Tuesday with Greg and I, and we shot white wing and morning dove till we were sick of shooting them. And it was so cool to hunt with my son again because, I mean, we killed thousands of birds together. I mean, we hunted since he was 8 years old. We've always had dove leases, and we just shot a lot of birds. But I hadn't got to hunt with him but two or three times a year lately because he's so busy with his property and stuff. But I got to sit on the bucket with him the other day, just sit there, just me and him and, you know, and Greg. And it's such a great – I don't know what it is about a father and son. It's like fishing or dove hunting. You know, you just – you know, mm-hmm. It's just a really cool deal. And I thought I was a good shot, but I'll tell you what, that boy of mine was whacking him. He's got that 12-gauge Black Eagle, you know. And, man, if I shoot him and I cripple him a little bit, he just smokes him. You know, it's nice to have a backup, man. Because I'm shooting over and under 20, and my top barrel is modified, my bottom barrel is full choke. And when they're real high, I'll flip the switch and try to get them on that full choke, and you'll hit them, but they just don't go down fast enough. And then when they're real high, I'll tell my son, okay, Bubba, that's yours, you know, boom, he'll smoke it.
Right.
And then Greg's a good shot now. Greg's really come a long way. He's from up north. He always shot a lot of partridge up there, so but you don't get as many shots. But this dove hunting, he's getting to blow some holes in the air, so it's good stuff. The amount of white wing we got is stupid. Yes, the amount of white wing we have this year is stupid, Mickey. They're still here. Usually by this time, they've gone somewhere else, but they're still here.
That's crazy.
And I know I got them at my place in Alice. Alice is covered up, and then I got a picture from Barry yesterday. He's covered up in Laredo. I'm going to hunt with him next weekend, but there's just thousands of birds in Laredo right now. Oh, my God. It's a good dove year, I tell you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, what Blaine say he had, like three hatches on his ranch this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm going to make that trip with Blaine. I'm so busy, but I'm going to go.
You know, that
I'm
norther earlier we had, it blew a lot of those young birds down towards y'all.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? Why do the young birds do that? I don't figure that out.
I don't
out.
Know. Huh. All those hatched out young birds, they just took off with the wind. They rode that north wind to the coast down your way, you know, all from Alice through Laredo area.
Yeah.
And everybody's nuking them. That's what Wayne was telling me. He went on some trip. They went to some Baffin Bay Lodge deal the other day, and they fished in the morning and hunted in the afternoons. And he said, they're like mosquitoes down there. And he said it was mostly young birds. But he said it was fun. They shot they nuked them.
We had a lot of young birds in our stack of birds the other day. A lot of young. But, you know, I say that probably 70% of ours are white wing. And it's not the morning dove are there. It's just like a whole group comes over and there's, you know, big group of white wing and four, you know, so you kind of want to shoot the white wing. I think they're slower and a bigger target. I don't know what it is, but anyway.
Everybody likes shooting the bigger birds, man.
Yeah, I do, man.
Too bad we don't have tons of blue rock pigeons to go with them like they do in Mexico.
God. Yes,
let's
I know
get
it,
some
man.
Blue rocks.
And what, you know, one of my son's client killed a white tip dove. You know what that is?
White-tipped.
White-tipped dove.
What, on the tip of their wings?
Yes, and they're bigger than a Eurasian dove. They're bigger than a ringneck. And they don't migrate. They're local birds. I'm finding out all this from my son. And they were kind of hanging around the feeder, and he had some clients up there the other day, and they shot one of them and put it up, you know, with the other birds. Totally, totally different-looking bird. And I don't know the story on a white tip dove, but I'm going to find out more about them. But that was pretty cool. And we don't have any ringnecks. You know, so 2 years ago, we were covered up with ringnecks. I don't know where they went. Other people have them, but they're not in our area. Maybe the white ring will run them off. I don't know.
Wayne was telling me he killed a bunch of them, you know, hunting wherever they were hunting down there when he was staying in that lodge at Baffin. Those are freebies.
Yeah, well,
there's no limit on
freebies.
Them. Get them all, boys.
Yeah, that's true. They're very invasive. They'll run your other dove off.
Sure they will. All right. Well, let me do this break. I'll be right back at you, buddy.
All right, with me.
All right, man. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market, located right in downtown Belleville. Just go downtown, look for the big white sign. Their meat market and processing facility are right next door to one another. And while you're there, check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Check out their bulk pricing. It's available on fresh ground beef and pecan smoked sausage, homemade hamburger patties and hot dogs. They're available for all of your cookout needs. And if you're looking to have a quarter or a half calf processed, you can call and make a pre-order on that and have it custom processed the way you like in their wild game processing facility. Don't forget about that. You know, with bow season starting up here in a week or so, hey, all your processing needs, the Belleville's got you covered. They're open year-round. They're celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 620 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back.
All right, buddy. Hey, that's the music there, buddy. That music is good, man. It's like giving another cup of coffee. It gets me jacked up.
I know
up.
It. Let's roll,
he's
man.
He's going today. He is going today. That's good stuff. But, hey, I want to tell you, too, that I was trying to shoot left-handed. My left eye dominant, so I was going to do this deal.
Oh, how'd that work out for you? Hey, it feels weird, doesn't it?
Hey, dude, let me tell you what. So I get the BB gun, and, you know, Mike says, look, man, he says, don't let that BB gun touch your right shoulder. Get it on your right, on your left shoulder and shoot 10 minutes a day. Well, right. two days out, the BB gun's in the closet. I tried to throw my shotgun up to the left shoulder, and I thought I was going to drop it. I don't know.
It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, isn't it?
It is, Bubba.
Man, you get that muscle memory, and it's just what you've done your whole life, and switching over. Yeah. No, it's hard.
The only way you can do it is to put, when you see a bird, just go ahead and put the gun on your left shoulder and start raising it up and get ready, because you can't. When I see a bird, I don't move to the last minute, because you know how they flare. You get guys that just turn a little bit and
flare
the bird.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's so hard to tell people, look, you've got to freeze until they get right in range, then stand up or just didn't move. And so I got to do all that movement on the left shoulder, but with the right shoulder, I just raise it up there and it's right there where it needs to be. But that's the main thing is, you know, my body doesn't want to do that. So I'm going to go back to my one box on a good day, a limit on a box, and on a bad day too, you know. So anyway,
hey, it's all good. As long as you're burning powder, that's all that matters.
Yes, we're killing funny birds. I'm having fun. But, hey, man, I want to tell you about this great fishing trip I had yesterday. It was so cool. So my buddy Greg, he says, hey, man, I'm going to hire you in your boat your first trip. So he invites Bob, the guy that fishes the jetties, you know, catches all the snook and tarpon on the jetties. So I got Bob, a really good fisherman. Then I got my neighbor Donnie, which is lives down the street, which is a really good fisherman. So I don't have no excuse. I got three studs in the boat that can fish. You know,
you got some sticks, no excuse, man.
I got some sticks, dude. And so, you know, I want to run that boat a long way. So I run all the way down south, real far south, you know. I thought those guys were like, how far is this guy going to run, you know? But it was worth it. We shut down, and, you know, it's typical full moon, you know, behind the full moon. The morning bite's not what you think it's going to be. It's good, but they're blowing the plug up, and a lot of more idiots. They've been eating all night, just massive blow-ups on big fish, just won't really commit to eating it. And then about mid-morning, they're sticking, you know? But we got along that edge, and I was throwing a one-knocker baby trout. And I'd taken that back hook off and put a real heavy hook so it stood up almost like a carrot in the water. Right. And it has a different walk to it. It kind of lunges forward, and those fish were smoking that plug.
Really?
And so I cut it off, and I set it up, and it was going to fish something else. And Bob, the guy that fishes the rocks, which is an unbelievable topwater fisherman, he grabs that thing, and he starts whacking us on the plug I just took off, you know. It was incredible. And we were throwing, the rest of us went ahead and put on some soft plastics and started really catching them on plastics because it's later on the day. But he stayed with that topwater. At 1:30, 2 o'clock, he's still throwing that topwater. And he was catching the bigger fish. We were catching more, but he was catching the bigger fish on that topwater. It was really cool, you know.
So what size treble hook did you put on the back of that bait?
Well,
like a number three or something?
Well, Mike sent us that one. It's a real heavy. I think it's called the Stinger, or I have to go look at the box. It's a real heavy, like a triple X hook, real heavy silver hook, and it's just heavier.
Right.
And it's got, you know, real thick wire.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot. And you put it in your hand, you go, man, it's like a quarter. But, man, it just gives that bait so much action. And then on the little bitty super spooks, the ones that are about 2 inches long, I'm catching the surf with low profile, I put a little bit bigger hook on the front, and they don't miss it. They don't push it, and it keeps it parallel to the water, and it's just more visible in the surf. But, you know, I'm just trying to change a little bit of the action on some of these baits because it just seems like it does something, you know, just
getting technical.
Just flips or switch.
Here we go.
Yeah, I don't
whatever
know. I don't know if that's it. Maybe it's just my brain that thinks it does. But anyway, we caught fish till we just, you know, it was really good. But, you know, it's just you can just tell because we're going in at 2 o'clock, Mickey, and the slicks are popping out like crazy. And we were all burnt. We're burned up. I mean, we're burned up.
Man, y'all's fish have been slicking good down there this year.
They're,
you know, and
our fish like
usually
crazy.
Slick, and we just, you know, they're not slicking like they normally do. And this is the time of year for that when the water's hot. Man, that's like Hansel and Gretel leaving breadcrumbs for you.
It's ridiculous how many slicks I saw coming back. It's like you just smell them all the way back. You know, we're all just burned up. You know,
nothing beats that smell, man. If I tell you, my wife wore that kind of perfume, I'd never leave the house. Trout slick.
I know it.
Nothing like it. That's my favorite smell.
I know it. And it's just so distinct, too. It's just, you know, so cool because the area that I drove past 25 miles, you know, of good water to get to where I wanted to be because I want to fish. I'm thinking, well, you know, what's happening? These fish are going to move south with all this fresh water and stuff and the heat. I'm going to go south and go a little far south. But my buddies are doing just as good in Baffin and the King Ranch shoreline. The guys that are fishing up here close with piggy perch, and it was so crowded Friday. I don't know if it's a tournament or what, but all those guys are whacking those redfish on piggy perch and trout just up here by the bridge because they're migrating out. You know, and they're nice slot reds, too. Like, we caught a limit of reds yesterday that were between probably 26 and 21, just perfect.
Those are perfect, man.
If you're going to keep a bottom feeder, keep a little one, you know.
And my old buddy Wayne, you know, when he fished out of that lodge and, you know, on that cast and blast deal they had booked, he said Alizon's loaded. He said it was stupid.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And see, normally, sometime in the back of that bay, it gets real still and stagnant and no oxygen level. it haven't happened. We hadn't had that this year because we've had some wind, we've had some rain, we've had a lot of clouds. So,
well, y'all still got a lot of water, huh? Y'all's tides are still up. Good, right?
It's still up. Yeah. It's not nothing like it was. You can still get the boat off the trailer, sure. But there's still high water. And but you talk about flushing stuff out, man, it just flushes
it. All it does is help, man. Gulf water is the key to everything, bringing that gulf water into our bays.
And the water's a little dingy in the upper lagoon. Once you get a little south of Bird Island, it clears up again. It's green. And this water's flowing out, so it's going to leave. I think it's just all the rainwater stuff back from those sloughs along the King Ranch and uh-huh. all the canals. All those canals, like Whitecap, they fill it with fresh water. And then when they drain out, it makes brown water into the Laguna Madre. So I think that's what's happening now, and it'll all go away.
Well, it's probably a blessing we got these storms and the tides we got off of them and everything to cut down on that brown or red tide thing that usually yes. happens this time of year, with all the
stuff. Yeah, the red tide is scary. Yeah. When that surf gets real calm in the summertime, you're in trouble, buddy. Man, yeah. That red tide. But that big storm we've had has really, put a lot of oxygen in the surf. And our surf fishing, I've been trying every day, Mickey. I mean, it's so sporadic. It's nuts.
Yeah.
My neighbor Steve, my fireman buddy Steve, my neighbor caught a snook in the surf Wednesday,
Right.
And what happened is they tore down Bob Hall Pier, the pier over here.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't get all the rocks off the pilings and stuff. And so in front where the old pier is, there's structure. There's rocks and pilings and stuff still in there.
And
those fish love structure. So do snook. Yes. And the deal is with the snook, if you don't burn that bait back, you're not going to catch them, that lure. And if people want to slow roll it, they'll watch it go by.
Well, they can see it too good. They know what it is. That's not what I've been eating.
But, Bob Bennett, the guy I fish with that catches all the snook and ross, he said the best tip you ever gave me when you were fishing in Costa Rica was throw that feather jig out and burn it in. That's when I started catching these big snook. I've never caught one jigging. Never caught one jigging, only burning it in.
Just
burning
it.
That's what they want. Yep. So true.
Oh, and that guy sent me some of that mono leader. I like it.
Oh,
man, it ties
good, isn't it?
I fished with it Tuesday, and I never even had to retie. I fished with the, what did I put on? I think I made a 25-pound. I like a little bit bigger leader. And
I think I'm going to go to 25-pound this winter. I love the 20. It's real limp and stuff, and it's got a good action to it. But I'm thinking maybe this winter the fish are going to be so big. I hardly ever use a 25, but I know back in the 90s, 94, 95, 96, when we had all those giant 10, those giant big fish, I was going to a 25 and 30, and I just wasn't losing any fish, And, now with the good hooks and the good split rings, the good line, you got such a much better chance of catching those fish. Man.
Well, back in the 80s when we were catching all those real big fish in 90s, we used 30 and 40.
Yeah, I would use 30s. Yep. And I think how stupid we were back in the old days. Even Wallace, my good buddy Wallace, he's a great fisherman. He's, called state record. He tied directly to 50-pound big game, and so did I. I don't know what we were thinking.
Well, that's what we used to do before we figured out the leader thing. And, you'd get those big trout on, and they'd roll on you, and they'd get that line around one of the barbs of those treble hooks, and that was all she wrote. She was gone.
Yeah, and
good night, Irene.
Man, I wish I'd have tied a not little, 2 foot, 3 foot, 20-pound leader on, but hindsight's 20/20, buddy. Hindsight's 20/20. But with the buggy whips, the only thing that saved us was buggy whips we were throwing really put a lot of cushion on the head shake.
It did.
But the amount of hits.
Well, that's why
I
like limber rods, because they're so forgiving.
Yes. And it's funny you say that, because I throw a stiffer rod on worms, and if I'm going to hook a big trout, I like my Ultramag, like my Corky, my topwater, because it's got that perfect bend when they shake the head. You just feel you feel that last quarter of that rod just kind of stay in there. You just kind of feel that,
Exactly.
And a stiff rod, it just doesn't bend enough. I don't know what it is, but it just puts a little too much pressure on them.
It does.
Yeah.
But way back in the day, I was in the 80s, I was fishing with a buggy whip, and everybody used to make fun of it, but seems to be the thing now.
Yeah,
it works. You just want that mid-range, backbone, fast tip, and then some meat, on down towards your handle, for muscling fish.
Yeah.
But as far as finessing them and fighting a big fish and not losing it, hey, that light tip is it, man. I've tried
them all. Yeah, and the new reels I'm throwing these baits, they got a drag that's off the chart.
I finally got one, and let me do this break, and we'll talk about reel when we come back, because I fished with mine this week. All right, hang with me. Well, you know, folks, AnglerU is committed to steadily expanding its library of videos to cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. Weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers with decades of experience. And they're steadily expanding its library of videos to cover all topics, and they're archived so you can see patterns over time. Educational videos with instructional topics covering all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, tarpon. Whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking, go to AnglerU.com to become a member today, and you can receive great discounts from partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. Save a ton of money. Go to AnglerU.com, that's AnglerU.com, and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:36 here in the Bayou City. Final segment so fast. Having a good time? Time goes by quick. All right, Cliff, we are back.
All right, man. Well, tell me what you thought about that bait reel.
I got a text, a picture from a guy. We're having a bad morning. He hit something, had a flat, and it's in the dark, and he sent me a picture of it. It's a railroad spike, went through his tire and through the rim.
Oh, man.
He nailed it all right. That's a good
one. Man, thank God it didn't go through somebody's windshield or something. It's probably good to get it off the road, you know?
Well, it's off the road. It's through his tire and wheel right now.
Off the road,
it's
in his tire and the wheel. Man,
you have to get a cutting torch out to cut that one out.
I think, yeah, that's nuts, man.
Let's
go fishing.
I don't
guess you're going to change that one.
Man, yeah. No, we were talking about those reels. I got mine. Mike sent me one. And that drag you were talking about, I love that little clicking sound it makes, you know, when the drag's going out.
Cool.
Isn't that cool?
It is. That's cool. Which one did you get, the Salty or the Hondo?
Salty Hondo.
Yes. I got one in the mail the other day, too. I had the regular Hondo, and yesterday was the first time I threw the Salty. They're both just really good, but the low profile.
It's almost too small for my hand, my big hand. Yeah. I mean, it feels weird fishing with it because it's so small, the frame. Mm-hmm. And I spooled it up with 12-pound Berkeley Sensation. And I can't believe how much line it held for that little of a reel, you know. But it's cool.
I was shocked, too.
You pop the spool out. It's got an inner adjustment there. And you know, you can click it with your fingernail. You can go wide open to the right or go, you know, counterclockwise and then move it up. I kept it on the middle the way it came from the factory, and then I just used the outside adjustment. I think I got it set on 2, and I never backlashed all day, and I really kind of might have overspooled it. It might be a little bit too much line on it, but it works perfect. It casted great, and, man, it was real smooth.
Yeah, I like it. You know, I like the weight of it, too. I think it's like 5 ounces or something. But it gives me a lot more feel.
Yeah.
Feel. And anytime you can take that weight off. But the drag was really, and I can't wait to catch some big trout on it. But I love that whole body is machined, one machine part. And what happens, these reels, the outside frame will start warping after you catch a few big fish, and your spool kind of gets uneven, and it doesn't cast as far. And so the real test is, I'll let you know about January, February, when I burned it a bunch and just thrown the heck out of it. I'll let you know how it holds up.
That's only time will tell. You got to put them through the test. And, you know, it was just my first.
But I know people that's had them, Mickey, for several months, and they're saying good things about them. So
they're holding up?
Yes, I've had one guy that's had them since they came out. And they're hard to get, so people are buying them. So that's a good thing. So we'll see how they work.
I still got a lot of my old 13s that I still throw that are just smooth as silk.
Oh, yeah.
Just straight butter, man. They've held up. How long have we had those? I mean, those.
I know. It's amazing, man.
But now you can't get them worked on.
That's
like,
my problem, yeah.
What's the deal? You know, I mean, they're still around. Rapala bought them out. but they're not putting out any parts, and all the stores quit selling them.
I don't know. I got a whole bunch of them that needs a little love and care on them, and I don't know what to do because nobody really wants to work on them. They can get.
They don't even want to mess with them now. I mean,
man, I don't know what's up with that. But I'll tell you something funny the other day. So I've had this pair of Danco pliers now for, I don't know how long we've had those. Dude, those things, I wish my car was made out of whatever
you
that
you can't
Danco.
Wear those out. I've got a pair on my weighting belt, and I got a pair on my dashboard. You know, I clip on the windshield.
It's stupid, isn't it? God, I cannot believe how good those things are. You know, I don't wash them off. I don't do nothing to them. I just, you know, pop them
stainless
up, throw them
steel,
back in
baby.
The front of
them. Real
I don't know what
stainless
that is.
Steel.
I don't know what that is, but that's pretty incredible, you know. Even the leather case it's in is holding up, so.
Yeah,
you know,
the leather case, mine gets, really get mold and mildew on it, you know, from being on your weighting belt. You'll throw it under the hatch, and then you'll pull it out to make a weight, and it's got all mold on it. But, hey, it's
leather. It's okay. It'll wash off.
It washes right off.
Crusty, but it's so cool to have this good, this good equipment nowadays, you know. It's crazy, but
that's the kind of pliers I had in my hand when I stuck that gaff top in my hand the other day. I used the short ones on my dash, and I've got some long nose needle nose that I always use for stuff like that, but I didn't want to walk back and get them, so I just flipped that thing off, and bad result. Stupid.
It's what happened? Fault. You got your hand?
Yeah, you know how you hold a gaff top over the side and
flipping. Well, I don't
grab
know about
the hook
gaff top.
And you'll just do that wrist twist flip. Yeah, y'all don't get
it. Yeah,
them
I know with hard heads. Yeah.
But now it flopped right when he was coming off the hook, and it went, his side fin went right into the palm of my hand. But it.
How bad?
It's all, it didn't feel good in that hot weather. But I got over it, sprayed some Clorox cleanup on it, and kept fishing.
Mm-hmm. Clorox cleanup, huh?
I just keep a bottle under my. You know, front of my hatch, because I always use it in my boat a lot anyway, but it works good, you know, to kill bacteria. So that's what they say, you know, if you get stuck, use that. So,
well, I know all the shrimpers and all the stuff in Mexico has got a bottle of Clorox on every boat. And that's what they
do. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Miracle.
You know, that's good stuff. Yeah. I use that 99% alcohol stuff in my boat for the bacteria stuff, for the flesh eating bacteria. Every time somebody gets cut, I pour. They don't like it. But if they get scraped,
feel too
rock,
good. But hey, they don't get Vibrio either.
Yeah, I said, well, hold your hand out here, buddy, and let me pour that. What are you doing? And I said, well, you don't want to. You know, that's time to do it right when it happens. You know, right when you get that little
alcohol baptism by Cliff Webb.
Yeah, but hey, well, what happened to? I was listening to Charlie the other day, and I didn't catch what happened to Charlie.
Oh,
did Charlie get hurt?
Yeah, yesterday he had a guy flip a. You know, set the hook on a hard head right by the boat. It got bit, and it, you know, how it'll just jerk out of the water, a little old hard head, and it stuck in his lower leg. It sounded like it was down towards his ankle area. And,
ow.
Man. that's way worse than a gaff top. They got way more enzyme in them. You know, that poison.
Yeah. You got to soak in Epsom salt. That's the best thing.
Yeah. Well, he was out in the boat, but he took care of it. But he said he woke up in the middle of the night, like 2 in the morning, it was bleeding. It just started bleeding, and which is good. You know, if there's any bacteria in there, it'll get it out.
Man. Mm. Yeah. That's something, man. Well, at least it wasn't a stinger or something. But those hard heads, you know, I've been hurt bad by hard heads. They'll get you, man. I remember when Mr. Jolly, my old guy, used to fish with all those years, you know, we threw lures, and he caught a big old hard head on a worm. And I just grabbed the line, and it was kind of spinning around. You know how they spin around? You kind of wait till you get the fins just right, you know. And I thought, I grabbed it real fast, and it turned, and it stuck that fin. Oh. I mean, like an inch in the side of my thumb, in that meaty part of your thumb. And I just turned green. And Mr. Stoddard looked at me, are you okay? And I said, no. And I grabbed that pair of pliers, looked the other way, and I jerked that thing out, and it pulled a bunch of meat, looked like liver. It looked like liver on that hook. It didn't pull that all over the place. And I'm getting kind of nauseated, you know, it was the summertime. But I think all that bleeding really helped me. But I'm going to tell you what, you forget how
no,
bad
No, make it bleed.
Hurt.
That's what you want to do is keep squeezing on it and make it bleed.
Hey,
get all that stuff
out
what's there.
The deal with the... So all the old-timers would rub the belly of the hard head on the sting.
They rub the slime on there because it has that bacteria-killing enzyme in it. Plus, it'll kill the pain a little bit. And,
that's true.
And that always helps. But
I never tried it. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to do that
because mine fell in the water and I wasn't able to get any slime off of him. But it,
had to go gas top fishing to catch one.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you want gaffies, I got them for you, buddy. They're nasty. There's big
I caught one in 45 years of fishing down here. We caught one.
And, you know, that's weird because right up the coast from you at Rockport, I mean, hey, Aransas Bay is full of them.
It's got to be a salinity level thing. I'm 80 parts per thousand. Maybe they don't like the salt.
Maybe not because they come straight to that fresh water in Trinity Bay, buddy, just like the bull sharks do. I mean, when they blow in, they head straight for that fresh water.
Golly. Maybe they don't like that salt. That salt knocks their slime off or something. I don't know, man. But y'all still got sharks in the bay? We're seeing them in the surf like crazy. Right in the first, got six-footers just cruising up down the surf. But we don't have much in the bay system. Is this time of year when you guys are getting the shark city in the bay right now?
Oh, yeah. I was watching Greg Francis had a video on Facebook yesterday. They were all over him. He said, well, here comes another one. You can see it swimming on top, heading
fishing?
Right for him, you know?
He's wade fishing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man. That's nuts.
I said, well, here comes another one. He had two videos of two different bulls, you know, swimming on top. They're wanting his fish off his stringer.
I don't think I'd carry a stringer over there, man.
Well, I would. They can eat the fish instead of me. Feed them. Feed those sharks, man.
15-foot stringer is the way to go. Man, you know? Golly, Mickey. I don't know about that, man. That's crazy. You know,
yeah, we'll get a couple of cold fronts in here. We'll get rid of all the trash, all the garbage, I call it, sharks and gaffies and skipjacks and all that. Get them out of here.
Yeah.
Man.
Now, we got the skipjacks, buddy. We don't have the stingray and the sharks you got, but I'll tell you what, I'll challenge you on giant skipjack. We got skipjack as long as your leg down here. And they're the kind you hook them in the front of the boat, and they go so fast around and jump behind the boat, they get everybody's line. You know, it's like a guy will hook one on the front, and that sucker will run toward the back, and nobody can reel them fast enough. They're tangling them up. They can move, you know, and they jump up in there, and they're nasty. But I guess the worst thing about skipjack has happened to me a lot, and if you grab that line, like a couple foot above that skipjack, they'll jump into your hand with the top water. So what I'm doing in the boat, I just grab a line and hook them up against that rubber rail, you know, like that, kind of stick the plug in there, and reach down with a pair of pliers and get them off. That way you don't get slime everywhere and go get your hands all messed up. But man, we got into some big ones in the surf here. God almighty. I don't know how long they are, but I don't know how to get any bigger than that. You know, they gotta be.
Y'all got some giant ones down there. Biggest ones I've ever caught have been down your way.
Yeah. And then I got into bluefish.
Well, y'all grow everything big down there. You trout.
I don't know what it is, Bubba. I don't know what it is, man. But I talked to you, I guess, Saturday. I went way down the beach. I'm all
we
saw the one knocker out there rocking a couple times. Boom! Big old bluefish, 4 or 5 pounds. I caught a dozen bluefish before I caught a trout. And, you know, that's nuts. Those things fight, but they're just not good to eat. I mean, you know, I guess people eat them, but I just
got a text from our buddy Blaine, man. I guess they're listening to the show down there. He heard us talking about him, I guess. You know, we were talking about him earlier. He said, most everybody got limits yesterday afternoon of white wings. The white wings moved in, and they're just covered us up on the western side of our ranches, like La Mesa 1 and 375. But not many birds here at the camp, you know, on the side, you know, where the lodge is. But he said I would call it an 8 out of a possible 10, you know, as far as good hunting goes, and everybody was a little too drunk to shoot good, and it was blowing 25 miles an hour out of the east.
That makes a difference.
He's got like 23 hunters down there this weekend. He said he's got a really good crowd, a lot of fun. That's cool to hear.
So that's so much fun around camp. You know, that's part of it, is all the fellowship, you know. And that's what's so great about my job, Mickey. You know, I don't make any money, but the people I meet, I mean, I got my best friends from fishing. You know, I never would have met these people. You know, like I never would have met Fred. Fred heard me on the radio, and Wendy bought him a trip. You know, I never would have met Fred, Barry, all those guys through fishing. You know, and they're some of my best friends I've ever had, and I wouldn't trade them for nothing. But that's what's good about our job. It's the nice people you meet.
It's the outdoor community. It's the mentality of everybody and the attitudes. I mean, everybody's I've met very few people in my line of work that I didn't care for. I mean, they're just,
I'm the
everybody's
same way.
Cool.
I'm the same way. You know, and it's so cool because they fish me a couple times. I get texts from them. They send me pictures of fish and hunting and yeah. what's going on. And I get to keep up with all that stuff. Like, I got about four or five guys from Houston. They're fishing machines. They'll send me pictures of a big trout from Matagorda or wherever, you know.
Right.
So I kind of get to keep up with what's going on down there, you know. So it's kind
of
neat.
I and get a lot of that, pictures. Too, man. That's why I love what we do.
Yes, those big deer pictures and kid pictures and stuff, you know.
Yeah, and I get texts from guys going, man, you know a lot about deer. Well, not like I do fish, but they'll go, what do you think about this deer? You think he'll turn into something? And I'll look at it, and, you know, I'm used to looking at South Texas deer, so hill country deer and other places in the state, you got to really look at them different. But, yeah, he's young. I mean, that deer's a year and a half, 2.5 years old, and let him grow. He might turn into something really big time. You just never know, you know.
Yeah, I saw a picture of Barry Sim. He's got one of the biggest young deer he's ever seen. I think the deer's probably 3.5 years old. I bet it scores 160. It is an absolute monster, mainframe 12, and it's just beautiful. And he got a picture of it at the feeding deal. Still in velvet. It was a while back. But, man, that's amazing to have the gene pool like he's got in there. God,
I know, man.
Those Laredo deer are big. Those are big deer.
They are.
Man. You know.
They're just... look at the environment they live in. Just think if they had cooler weather and better conditions, you know, with plenty of water and all that, how big their bodies would get, you know, like those Canadian deer do.
Yeah. And that's so cool about when the does have the fawns. So a lot of them, if the ground is too hot, sometime when they have those fawns, they'll lose a lot of fawns because when they hit the ground, it kills them. It's so hot. And so those does will wait for a rain or a cloudy day, and all of them will dump at the same time. It's just weird how Mother Nature is. That ground gets so hot down there in South Texas, they'll lose a lot of their babies. So it's funny how right after a big thunderstorm or a big cloudy day, the temperature's down or something, the ground's a little bit cooler, they'll drop those babies. You know, that's really amazing how Mother Nature can do that. That's just amazing to me.
It really is, especially down there. I mean, that's a tough environment. And I look at it like Blaine's in the right element down there for him, because
he is.
I've always said, if anything lasts Blaine Farmood a year, you better buy it, because it's something lifetime for anybody else. And that's kind of the way his animals are down there, man. That's why Travis Leach nicknamed Blaine the Animal back in the day when we were running boats for him. You know, when he was with Lewis Delhomme, the Animal.
Yeah. I hear a lot of good things about Blaine. That's why I said I'm not going to go another year without hunting. I'm just going to go down there if I don't hunt, just hang out with him in the campfire.
They broke the mold after him. I mean, one of a kind.
I could get you down there and tell some lies around the campfire. It'd be fun, man. But we need to go down there this year, Mick.
We'll Charlie P. and Jay Watkins in on that deal.
Oh, my God, man.
Get some old Bay veterans in there.
Bay veterans.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah. That's all,
first man. Liar will not have a chance.
It's good stuff, isn't it? Oh man, but it's so cool because I got this whole week coming up, and it's great, you know, to get up and grab your shotgun or grab your rod and reel. I just love this time of year. But I'm
man,
gonna
you
see
live
some birds
in the perfect places for this time of year. I mean,
I'm getting old, Mickey, I can't keep up. You know, my brain wants to go, my body says no. I don't know what's going on.
Just do what you do. That's what I do. Hey, if I feel like it, I'll go do it. If I don't, hey, big deal. I'll watch an Astro game or something.
I wish I could watch TV. I can't watch TV.
Oh, I can. I'm hooked on sports TV.
I can watch a movie every once in a while, but I just don't watch much. I don't never watch the news. I turn the weather on at like 15 minutes after, and I watch the weather, and I turn it right back off because it's so political. I don't want to hear all
it
that
is.
Stuff.
I watch the news. I just want to pull the gun out of the drawer and just blow my brains out.
Like, really? Who cares?
You know?
Anyway.
Well, maybe somebody will come up one of these days with a positive news channel. All good
news. It would
news.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't
it
would that, be nice. That'd be something, hey. You know? Fair and balanced. All good news over here, right, folks. Dude. No doom and gloom.
Hey, well, I got you on the phone. You and Blaine and Plog, you guys need to get in here in the winter. Well, I got a little bit left open because it's still
I know
really
it.
Fast.
Well, we can drag. Well, Blaine's not that far from you. We should be able to drag him out of there for one day, you know.
Yeah, and Plog, too. We got to get Plog down here.
Oh, I can get James. Me and James will hop in the truck together, and we're gone. Yeah. We'll be there.
Yeah. Me and John and the guys are so cool. Raphael and those guys. That was a good group of guys you brought, man. I hope you bring them back.
We're gonna do that again. I'll get with John and we'll do it up. He sure had a good time on that last trip.
I enjoyed fishing with John. He's getting so much better.
He just gets in the boat. You don't hear nothing. Yeah. All he does is fish. Nope. Shut up and fish, man.
That's nice, isn't it?
It is. Oh, man. He's a good stick.
Yeah, it is.
All right, brother. Well, hey, man, if somebody wants to come down and fish with you, give them a number. They can come down and try out that new 10-cylinder. Let's roll.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm at area code 361-949-0707. Appreciate you having me on, Mickey. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, and you can look back at him and say, hey, boys, we'll be in Mexico in about 30 more minutes.
You bring your passport with you.
We're heading south. That's it.
Got to take a passport
fishing with Cliff. All right, brother.
All right, dude.
See you, man.
Thank you, Mickey. All right, man.
Later.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's Captain Cliff Webb down in Corpus. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.